This is for the players.
I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Max Cooper.
And this is For The Players, the pop culturist PlayStation podcast for 40 years of playing PlayStation and 10 plus years in that games and media combined. I'd like to thank you for joining us in this PlayStation conversation.
This PlayStation conversation happens every Monday morning at 9 a.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time on the YouTubes and 8 a.m. on podcast services of your choice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. If you want to join this this PlayStation conversation, head over to the Facebook group, facebook.com/group/thepopculturist. There is the Twitters, there is the social medias, the Discords, all links are in the description below. Come over there, chat to us. If you want to chat to us as this conversation happens, head over to patreon.com/thepopculturist. Support us at any dollar value. Get yourself a nice little sneaky link where you can watch us record this show live as well as our other show, The Young and the Wrestlers. And I should mention as well, if you are listening to this show as well as others on your podcast services, give us a cheeky review, a couple stars, however many you want to put on there. It's up to you. Helps us helps us get into those rankings. We did crack the top 200 again this week.
Nice.
Thank you very much, everyone, checking it out. Hopefully, we can do that again this week. If we can keep making it into those top 100, it doesn't do anything. Downloads about the same, but it looks cool. If you want to support us in a more once-off fashion, head over to popculturist.com/shopping, buy shirts like this and other assorted shit with our logos on it. Because we're about to hit Black Friday, Christmas, all the sales from now until the end of the year, it's pretty much 30-35% off consistently until the end of the year. So if you do want to pick yourself up some Popsy goodness for a family member that you don't like so much, popculturist.com/shop. And we are also on Twitch at twitch.tv/thepopculturist, where I was supposed to stream this week. However, I got my days mixed up because I've got to record an episode of Some Assembly Required, which is a show that I do with Dash and a bunch of other content creators. I thought it was this week, so it wasn't. So I was getting ready to do the show, and then I checked my dates. I'm like, nope, that's next week, you dickhead. So, and then I went, I'm going to play Death Stranding. So I went and played Death Stranding. Max, how are you, man?
Oh yeah, not too bad.
Good attempt there bad. On the taking together. Josh's little spiel.
The spiel.
It's a lot of spiel, isn't it?
It is a lot of spiel, but 3 weeks in a row, I figured I'd throw my hat in the ring and see if I can get.
Well,
it
that
down.
Is the one of it because we've done it enough times now. We can kind of get it in under like a minute. Like what's that? I think it's like 2 minutes, really.
Yeah.
But like because we've done it so many times, that it's not like. Kind of
you're just going through the motions.
It doesn't stumble over itself. It just kind of goes and does all right. But how you been? How's your week been?
Yeah, week's been pretty all right. Got my Christmas holiday vacation sorted, my paternity leave sorted.
Excellent.
So I got a nice cheeky month off, which will be great over Christmas.
Yeah, because I think I ended up getting like 7 weeks of leave,
and then I like kind of. Picked and chose, so I use my annual leave over the Christmas break, so it didn't use up too much annual leave because I get public holiday pay anyway. And so, yeah, did all that.
Yeah, so cause I think when I went on pat leave, I had 4 weeks half pay, and then there was some 2 weeks no pay from Centrelink or something.
Yeah,
and then there's some annual leave in there as well. Ended up to be about 7 weeks, so it was awesome. About just shy of 2 months off, which was great. But then by the time I went back to work, everything fucking crumbled, and then that job sucked. So I left. In terms of myself, my week's been pretty swell. Yeah. I've, as you can see behind me, I've added some things to the set.
Yeah,
I've added these cool lights. So these are the Control Freak gaming lights. Not paid sponsorship, bought them myself, but because paid sponsorship's fucking weird.
It is. It's weird. Especially when it's shoehorned in at really like obscure moments.
Yeah,
obscure
and it's, places. The difficulty is when it's there and you're trying to watch something and the camera makes it super obvious that there is some paid sponsorship going on. These weren't paid either. These were lovely sent to me from the team over at Blue Mouth Interactives. These are the Tubbs Ducks.
So good.
Aren't they fucking awesome?
Man, watching that unboxing video of you and James. James is the star of the show, not going to lie.
Oh, dude, every time I get him in a video, I do it when I can. And because he's fun and because he's adorable. Everyone's like, no. But he just, because he's a big rubber duck fan. So when they message me out of the blue, I'm all like, hey, we're going to send you some ducks. I was like, what? And then I read the email, which made sense. And they're like, yeah, I've got these cool little cosplaying ducks, and they're kind of like cool pop vinyls. Not a paid promo at all. They just sent them to me, so I guess it's paid in a weird way. But yeah, I just wanted to show them off here.
They're rad.
Yeah. That's all. That's all, they're all the promotion in the show today.
Yeah.
Nothing else. Although, do you need your stamina increased?
No, I'm good for now.
No, you're good for now? Yeah. Because I've been playing nothing but Death Stranding.
So you've been delivering pizzas or?
Fuck, calm down, Sackboy. Pardon?
Been delivering pizzas?
I have been delivering pizzas. Did my first pizza delivery mission in the game, which is weird. So last week I said I put about 4 hours into it. And now I'm at about 15, 16. I kind of went hard within
nice.
The time that I have, because I only like a couple of hours a night at best. So yeah, I did kind of go hard. But you said you've not played any.
So I've played a little bit more since last weekend, but not much. It's one of those games where you can't play. I find that I can't play it in short bouts. It needs to be, I need to be able to sit there and give it a good couple of hours.
Yeah.
And I just haven't had that this week.
Yeah, so I've kind of chipped off time. Like, I've granted, I have gone to bed a lot later because of it. But I was kind of like, all right, I'm going to sit down. I'm going to give some Death Stranding a go. And
yeah.
I'm going to give it a red hot. And because as of right now, I'm in the next area. So I'm in chapter 3.
Yeah, so I'm still in chapter 3 also.
Yeah. I think chapter 3 feels really long. It feels really long compared to the others.
Yeah.
So, it seems to be a lot more open, which is cool.
Yeah, chapter 3 tends to be where it opens up a lot.
I now
more.
Have vehicles.
Yeah.
So I had a bike. I eventually got a bike in the first area, but now I've got... I went to a mule. You know, these guys are trying to jack you, stole their bus. Well, their no, little... Their,
good
their
is
ute.
It?
I just ute everything. I'm just like, oh, what's that? It's a, 400 kilograms of shit. All right. Just chuck that shit in the ute.
Have you been hit by one of their lightning spears while you're in the car? And the car just like...
No, I'm in the car, no.
Oh, if it hits your car just stops working. It just stops dead. And you're just like, okay, cool.
Can you repair it?
Jacked. No, eventually it wears off.
Yeah.
But you've got to wait for it to wear off. Nice. So you just get out of the car and just stand next to it until it's good to go again.
It's cool. I'm glad it wears off at least. Because, yeah, so normally I just kind of drive. I'm like, so I just drive past them because they're all like, hey. Which is fun. But so, because on top of that, now that I'm playing more, we're seeing more of the highways, like, all these cool, chiral buildings and creations and stuff. So that's making it a lot more fun, maybe easier to traverse. So, like, now I really feel like the game's getting into its motion.
Yeah.
Not saying that I've disliked the start of the game. It's just kind of, it's now getting that
you can
groove.
See why a lot of the reviews said it does take 10 hours to get into the game.
Saying that, the first 10 hours I still thought were incredibly compelling.
Oh, yeah.
That story is still amazing. It's still it's still triggering me in now. Mild spoilers. Now, I messaged you this and you didn't respond.
Oh, hang on. Did you?
I did. So I messaged you a question. Now this is mild spoilers, all right? So heads up. It's very mild.
I think I only got the question of, if I go here, can I go back?
And that was the same question that came after that.
Oh, yeah.
The question that I asked you was, so, in the world of Death Stranding, the beach is essentially your afterworld, right? So, when you die, you go to the beach. There are multiple shots of a child Norman Reedus or a Sam Bridges at the fucking beach. Is this kid dying a lot?
Okay, so you haven't got up to where I am, and I won't spoil anything.
So that gets explained.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Because I was like, is anyone going to address this child murder that's going on?
I mean, if you want to know, I can give you a sneaky hint, but I won't do it on...
No, won't do it on air. No. All right, cool. As long as there's an answer, that's what I wanted to know. Because every time they haven't explained why his sister's there and she never seems to age and she always looks the same, whether in the old flashback or currently, I assume that gets explained too. Because there's obviously... Because they talked about how she's kind of stuck within the beach.
Have you spent more time with Fragile yet?
She just gave me a big spiel about Higgs.
Okay.
Yeah, so I just did that mission.
You're close to finding it.
So because I got distracted for like 4 hours just delivering shit. Just random shit. I'm like, I want at least one of these buildings to give me a 5-star rating. So I want. So I'm just kind of chipping away that and giving that engineer all he needs. Found some little filmmaker guy over the side, just big ass beard. Like, I assume he's a cameo because he looks so different to everybody else. I don't know who he is. I'm 100% enjoying it.
Mm.
Like, the tedium hasn't hit me yet.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which I'm happy about. So I'm enjoying the chipping away. And
like, see, that's how I broke up the monotony of the game for me. When I got bored of just doing the deliveries from one place to another, I just go to the mule outpost, jack them, and steal all their stuff back and return it to all everyone who had lost all their stuff. And that was kind of my, like, combat-esque.
Yeah, because then, yeah, when you... Well, because that's the best thing about combat, right? Is we're both playing on hard, and unless there's, like, three of them jacking you at once, you just, like, hold ready and just spam R2. And you're like, and you parried. Dead.
Yeah, well, see, it's a little bit easier for me because I can shoot rope at them now.
Well, I've now got the bolo gun too.
Yeah, so I'm just like, what's that? There's like 20 of you, come at me.
Yeah, I'm like, all right, there's four of you. All right, thunk, thunk, two of you are down. I'm going to choke out these dudes. By the time they're choked out, you'll be back up and I'm going to choke you out. Like, I just wait my time and choke out everybody.
What I found out though is the drivers of those buses, if you shoot all their friends off the back of them, they'll run you over.
Really?
Yeah.
Damn.
And you die.
Well, because what happened is, like, I saw one of the bus go, hey, and it stopped, and then they all got, like, scattered out like a clown car almost. And then he tried to bugger off, and then I killed everyone. He went, hey, and so, and then turned back around and came back to
me. Yeah.
But, like...
And he full-on just ran me over. He's like, oi. And I'm like, oh.
Getting that ute, like, getting that truck, trailer, whatever... Saved my life.
Oh, like, yeah.
Makes the game so much more bearable. Because, like, now instead of having me, you know, because now I've got those robo legs, so I'm, you know, carting like 300 kilos of shit. But then I'm like, well, I have a truck, so technically it's like 800 kilos of shit.
Yeah. Well, I like the bikes. The bikes have got a bit more maneuverability. But if you pick the long range bike, you can't put cargo on it.
Because it's got
batteries.
Because the batteries is where I'm like, because I was like, ooh, I'll rate the long range one. That seems like, can't put anything on it. I'm like, this bike sucks, ain't it?
You have to get off every 2 minutes, build yourself a generator.
Well, that's all I do now, is like, because the best thing about the truck. So the truck, I don't carry cargo on me. Everything is in the truck.
Yeah.
And then I just carry what's left.
Yeah.
Like, so ladders and anchors and everything else stays in the truck. So that way I'm never over encumbered. Mm. I just go to where I need to be, pull up the bike, get up, sorry, out of the truck, pick up whatever I need, throw it back in, get it, I'm going again. But so the story is getting really kind of, it's still tantalizing. It hasn't hit a point of, this is fucking weird. I'm just like, oh, I don't know this guy. Like, what's this fragile chick? What's her deal? She's got history, apparently. And then I saw the Higgs man, which is, you know, that game footage has been out already. So it's not a surprise there. But like, there's all these little things. I'm like, ooh, what's this? Ooh.
Mm.
And there's enough confusion to make me go like, I got to see what's going on here.
Yeah, I'm super keen to get back into it. But with, I've fallen into Jedi Fallen Order.
Which we will get to later as the main topic of the show.
And then last night I spent the majority of my night after my wife woke me up playing Pokemon.
Well, Josh has been playing Pokemans too. I myself, as I yelled out on Twitter, I'm not feeling it. I can't feel it.
Well, I'm enjoying it, but my party of six are all original 150 dudes. Like, I don't understand any of these new guys. I'm just like, what are you? You kind of look like you're this type. I'll try this. No, it's not effective. I'm like, well, I don't know what you are then. Fuck you.
Because like I said, I think part of it is burnt out because of my job. A lot of clients that I work with are big Nintendo fans, big Pokemon fans. And they not to a point of like obsessiveness, but they're like, they're big vocal advocate fans. So I do think part of my burnout comes from that. And to like, even though I've played pretty much all of them except Black and White and Black and White 2, I don't think I ever played. It's a situation like 25 years later, I'm like...
Yeah, well, I haven't played one since Gold.
Yeah, so you're in advance. You're gonna feel this whole new... Because like, you like, last thing you played was that little 2D sprite thing. Now it's this big 3D bad boy. Like, for me, I'm just like, well, is there 8 gyms? Okay. Is there this and that?
Okay. The gyms are weird now, though.
Yeah, see, I haven't seen any of that yet. But like, the problem is the key foundations of Pokemon hasn't changed,
no.
And nor has it grown. And for that reason is why I'm on it. So yeah, like,
fair enough.
Like Ultra Sun and like, sorry, Sun and Moon did something slightly different.
Yeah,
and it was kind of cool for that reason. And I like the Darwinian evolution style of like, different region Pokemans evolve differently, and like, that's fucking awesome. I love that shit. But yeah, even then it kind of fell like that. The novelty went off real fast. I'm like, it's the same game.
Yeah.
It befuddles me that 20, almost 25 years later, the core of a game hasn't changed.
I mean, if it ain't broke.
But it is.
But is it? I mean, it's still selling gangbusters every time.
Yes, because, yeah, a very particular crowd of people really know it.
Sorry if it ain't broke.
Yeah, but... you saw all people complaining this week on Twitter about
it. They're all going to buy it.
They still buy it. They 100% support it. I don't know. It's just... I think I'm being cynical, and I'm aware I'm being cynical.
Oh, don't get me wrong. I would have loved... I want Pokemon Breath of the Wild.
Yeah.
That's the dream.
And this is the thing, like, why can't that be a thing? It's been 5 years since Sun and Moon, and Ultra Sun and Moon was a slight change that wouldn't even use the full dev team. Let's go Eevee and Let's Go Pikachu were essentially side games to test out the engine. Still not the full team. So, like, why has it been so long in Pokemon time and it's not staggeringly different? They've cut out all the Pokemans. Like, apart from gotta catch them all, no, you gotta catch kind of some of them.
See, my whole thing is,
and if it's a balancing issue, I'm like, that's your fucking fault. You like, that's a you problem, that's not a me problem.
Well, my whole thing is, when I play, and this is super contradictory to what I just said before about my six Pokemon that I'm currently using are all OG 150. When you play a new Pokemon game, you should be just for the new Pokemon, and I'm super not for the new Pokemon.
And that's the thing. And they're like, you know, if they're like, oh, we can't put that many sprites in them. Like, well, you should. The 3DS, you couldn't. The Switch is staggeringly more powerful than the Switch. Are you guys an idiot? You just group idiots. Like, I know it comes from someone that's naive to game development. I totally get that. But it's just that situation of, like, because of the game that they've designed, as I said, its foundations are so simple that this type equals that and this and that. Like, it's all balanced. Just put them in there.
But can you imagine in, like, 10 years' time and there's fucking 1,800 of the motherfuckers
here to catch? That's a them problem.
At what point do they go, let's just clear the board completely?
Well, they could have done that here, but they didn't. They're like, oh, we'll just pick and choose some random ass.
But I think, like, they only added, like, 80 new Pokemon, didn't they?
Yeah.
That's probably why they didn't be like, these are just the new ones.
Yes, because there's like 700 of them. Plus, they're also running out of ideas.
Oh, yeah. Once they started making, like, trash bags and ice cream cones, I think they were...
Yeah. I need something new. Because, and on top of that, they're not making 1,000 side Pokemon games anymore. There's no Mystery Dungeon. There's no Pokemon Ranger. There's no Colosseum. There's no Snap. These things don't exist. So the only game is either Pokemon Go, which is kind of essentially the same, which I didn't really super enjoy. And then there's this base game. So I can't even get my slightly different Pokemon playing experience elsewhere.
Go play Smash.
Fucking
play Pikachu on Smash. No. I don't know.
No, poor form. Poor form. But you're enjoying it though, which is good.
Yeah, no, it's pretty good. But again, I haven't played it in years, so it's all...
My minus button has decided to come off my keyboard. Oh, no, it's fucked now.
All fresh and funsies.
Oh, well. I'll blame my child. Keep talking while I pop the news.
Other than that, I don't think I've been playing much else apart from the Fallen Orders, which we'll get to a bit later, and the Pokemans. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, Josh is enjoying his time with it.
Well, he said it's dope, which is good.
Mm-hmm.
He said he gave zero shits about the starter Pokemans.
Well, yeah,
who'd you pick?
Scorbunny.
Scorbunny. I think Josh picked the Scorbunny.
Fire for life. Always, yeah. I've picked a fire starter every time.
Firestarter is always the one that I normally go to. However, saying that, I would really...
I think this is the first... Correct me if I'm wrong, because I haven't played many, but Fire generally is the harder starter.
Normally,
but in this one, it's like, hey man, your first gym's grass. I'm like, woo! Breezing.
Well... I just liked the emo...
And then they smacked me with a water gym straight after. I'm like... False sense of security.
Yeah, I do like the little emo tadpole though. He kind of, you know, he looks anxious.
Actually, I can relate to that. There was one issue that I had last night, and it was, I was walking around the wild area. Well, not the wild area, because that's actually a place now, but I was out on one of the random spots. And in the grass, you can see the Pokemon now. And I'm like, oh.
Yeah, so then let's go, yeah.
I'm like, oh, it's a Pikachu. I run over to go catch it. No, it's a dude dressed in a Pikachu costume. He's like, oh, I'm going to fight you now. I'm like,
I'm going to stab you.
And yeah, It wasn't the Pikachu that I thought it was. I was very upset.
Yeah, you got cut me real deep. Yeah, you got cut. Yeah, what was it called? You got catfished.
I did. Got catfished hard.
Let's get into the dude. That's enough talking about a Nintendo game on a PlayStation show. We already get called out, like, why don't you just make a fucking general gaming show? I'm like, no, because I don't want to talk about it. Like, I don't like the responsibility of having to talk about other things. So talking about PlayStation.
When they come up.
And then when they come up, we talk about them, like we have here. And I just kind of made fun of Pokemon for a while.
Yeah.
But it's a section called Inform the Players. We tell you about what happened this week in PlayStation. Once again, I've collated the news, therefore it could be a hot fucking mess. 1, 2, 3, 5, 6 bits of news this week, plus a couple of quick bits. A lot of it is pretty easy to get through. Number one, Anthem isn't dead, apparently.
Anthem Next is coming.
Woo! According to a new report from Kotaku, developer BioWare has big plans for its looter shooter that will completely overhaul the entire experience, dubbed internally by the new team, as you said, Anthem Next or Anthem 2.0. Probably bad naming convention. We saw what happened with Vegemite. Risky move. The ever-reliable Jason Schreier states that while not even a distribution method nor a timeline to release are set in stone just yet, BioWare is planning on completely changing the game's mission structure, loot, and open world. Quote, we spent a few months just tearing it down and figuring out what needed to change fundamentally, and in brackets, a lot, and we've been rebuilding for another few months since. Both of BioWare's officers are said to be leading their support to the rebuilding process, which includes breaking up the world map into pieces and taking a look at what the studio considers a mission. This leads us to believe that the monumental update is still a long ways off. Now, someone like yourself who's played a lot of Final Fantasy Online, where they essentially had the Realm Reborn, so there is a history, there is a of just games being completely redone.
I look at Fallout. Mm-hmm. Look at, I think Elder Scrolls Online did it as well, didn't they? They kind of semi rebooted. I hope it works out for them.
Mm.
I really enjoyed Anthem.
Did you?
Yeah, I did. I really liked my time with it. There was just nothing to do.
Yeah. Well, because this is the thing. So, like, as we tried to do a couple of weeks ago, you know, we bought it for Josh.
I mean, like, Magic Iron Man, like...
Yeah. So, the beta didn't install me, so I instantly didn't put
any... Well, I played the alpha, and I was kind of like, I'm digging this. And then the beta came out. I'm like, ooh, what happened?
Yeah.
And then I ended up buying it anyway, because, you know, it's one of those games that I can... play forever.
Mm.
Turns out I couldn't.
Yeah, because it turns out, so allegedly BioWare are also working on a future Mass Effect title and Dragon Age 4. Which Dragon Age 4 we know to be confirmed is coming, but the Mass Effect one's a bit up in the air.
Yeah, I'm concerned. I'm concerned about Dragon Age 4. I think if they screw the pooch on this one, it's going to be the nail in their coffin.
Yeah. Yeah, especially with the likes of Jedi Fallen Order coming out this week, showing that EA can just publish something cool.
I hope that, I can't remember who said it, I read a tweet about it this morning, but I hope that showing the Jedi Fallen Order can work, not on Frostbite.
Hmm.
I hope it doesn't shoehorn all the other EA products into using Frostbite engine, because...
Well, that's like, what they've been doing, like, for the longest garbage. Time. But yeah, with Fallen Order but using Unreal, it's like, well, look what we can deliver. That Frostbite's not built for these games. Fucking morons. So look, it's a weird situation. Credit to them for potentially sticking it out, especially after all those reports of people leaving, like, you know, some of the key roles leaving. So maybe they're like, you know, we want to support this. Like, I don't. All right, bye. And they left. Maybe it's one of those things. Who knows? Next, more question mark. Obsidian's The Outer Worlds has done rather well for itself ever since its launch, with sales that have exceeded expectations that the developer had prior to release. It's a major success for the now Microsoft-owned company, and it looks like more content could be on its way. In an interview with Eurogamer, it is revealed that Obsidian still has a team working on post-launch support and content for the game, despite the fact it has multiple other projects currently in the works. Quote, people are obviously loving The Outer Worlds, and we've made it because we love it. So now we get to keep on doing it, doing things to help support it. A content roadmap for The Outer Worlds hasn't been announced at the time, but it looks like one could be on its way sooner rather than later. Now, I myself will admit I have not finished Outer Worlds. I have barely touched it since Death Stranding came out, and I kind of fell into this other hole. It's still in my stack of games in front of my telly. So I myself, in terms of post-launch content, not too phased right now.
I'm the same. I haven't touched it since Death Stranding.
Yeah. It's more of a situation of, like, cool, I'm glad it's supporting it. The thing that I wonder, now this is obviously tinfoil hat, pessimistic hat, like with the original agreement around Obsidian publishing everywhere with Private Division around Outer Worlds, because, you know, because at that time they weren't owned by Microsoft. What does that mean for this DLC? Is there a different rules there? Because we obviously don't know the contract. What would you? How do you presume this would go down? Would we see?
I highly doubt that Microsoft would go no DLC for anyone but us.
Why not?
I mean, it's not really in their nature.
As it stands right
as
now.
As it stands right now. Like, yeah. You know, they're all for the players, I must admit.
This is the weird situation. This is the same company that blocked off Tomb Raider for a year. Like, there's precedence.
There is precedence, but there's difference between purchasing the rights to a game over purchasing the rights to, well, I guess not really, because Sony do it with COD and be like, screw everyone else for a couple of months on their Call of Duty.
Microsoft did that first. No, I'm 360. Not, I'm, remember you know, how, remember no, how long no, we would yeah, have to oh, wait yeah. for PS3? Oh, yeah,
I'm not saying that they don't do it, but it'd be weird for, actually, no, I guess not. It wouldn't be that weird. I just don't think they'll do it.
Yeah, I think there is a chance, but they're really it's incredibly minimal.
They're really trying to build up their goodwill with the community, and I think this would.
And if they want to go about the whole kind of crossplay image, right? They're like, well, we'll still do it. We'll still support. Like, even though they're not us, we'll support them.
Yeah,
I suppose. But it's cool that when I'm done with Death Stranding and Jedi, like, I'll be like, oh, maybe there's more. Saying that though, I never fucking play post-launch DLC. Never. I bought the season pass for Spider-Man.
Oh, dude, play them. They're so short and worthwhile.
I know, it's a situation of like, I should.
They're like four missions long.
Oh, really?
Super worth it. Okay, this is so good.
That's manageable. But it's like, you know, sometimes, you know, we've been given season passes as, you know, as part of the code we've been given. It's come with the deluxe edition, so we get the season pass.
Yeah.
Fucking never touch any of it.
I've got to be... It depends on the game.
What's the last most recent DLC that you played?
Probably Spider-Man.
The game came out like a year ago.
Because it turned out... Because I was browsing the store and I'm like, oh, the new DLC came out for Spider-Man. And then I looked at it and said, cannot purchase. I'm like, I wonder why I can't purchase it. And then it's like, you own the Super Duper Edition. I'm like, oh, that's why I can't purchase it.
Go me.
So I re-downloaded it and played them all.
Yeah. Because I'm trying to think, like, the ones I remember actively, like, diving into.
The one before that would probably be Borderlands 2.
Yeah, like, I think Skyrim's on that list because I really enjoyed their DLCs. Same as like Oblivion, GTA back in the day, like, you know, the Ballad of Gay Tony, and like Lost in the Damned. Ooh, I'm racking my brain.
Jeez, that's old content.
And, like, that's old... That's deep cuts.
That's old stuff, yeah.
Like, in terms of PS4, like, I don't think there's any DLCs that I've played. I think there is. I think I play the main game and then boot and go on to the next thing. And I guess saying that, the big difference is back then, I wasn't doing what I'm doing now. It's a bit tougher for me to go back and play games.
You also didn't have a kid.
You also didn't have
a kid.
You
had a lot more free time.
And most of the time was playing COD with you. So I was like, I really missed my opportunities there. Same, but different, Max. Xbox boss Phil Spencer is already hinting that his company's device will go toe-to-toe with the PS5. Quote, we will not be out of position on power or price, Spencer told The Verve, commenting on Xbox's approach to next-gen. Price has always been a deciding factor in how each console generation plays out, especially when the two competing consoles launch around the same time. Although it didn't surpass its competitor in the long run, the PS3 certainly suffered due to its infamous $599 US price tag on release. I remember paying $800 for that motherfucker.
Yeah.
And its generation saw a similar story unfold with the Xbox One, which arrived at $499 US, which was $100 more than the PS4. Naturally, Microsoft isn't keen on producing the most expensive console again in 2020, but Spencer says that it doesn't also want to lose out in terms of hardware power. Quote, if you remember the beginning of this generation, we were $100 more expensive, and yes, we were less powerful. Staggeringly. They didn't say staggeringly, I added that, because it ran at fucking 900p. And we started Project Scarlet with this leadership team in place with a goal of having market success. Spencer continues. Now, you and I haven't had a lot to talk about PS5 in the couple of weeks that we've been doing the show together. Josh and I have talked about it up the wazoo. Where do you stand on this? On PS5 prices, power.
On paper, it looks like it's going to be super duper expensive. Super duper expensive. It's going to be a beast. Mm. They're both going to be like, I mean, what they've got in them rival what's in my PC at home. Some of it's better.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. It'll all depend on... Yeah, that price point is what's going to kill them. And I think unless they sell them at a loss and hope to make their revenue back in their software.
Yeah, see, this is the thing. I still agree with you on that point. Now, by them just saying, oh, we don't want to be the more expensive, well, that means if PlayStation at $700, they can be $650. Like, you know what I mean? In terms of that's US pricing.
But that's
as an
business.
Example.
That's what they do.
But no, like, but you know what I mean? Like, they're not saying, but in this conversation, this is, once again, cynical hat. Neither PlayStation nor Xbox have set a price.
They won't for a very
long time. And
they
won't until the last moment.
Yeah.
And I mean that as in, like, look, we don't want to be the most expensive. Because there's talk. Like, PlayStation don't talk to Microsoft. It doesn't happen.
No.
Like, that conversation doesn't happen. However, there's enough, like, cross-pollination and people passing people within the games biz that, like, you guarantee they've heard something, they've gone, look, they're going to probably hit about.
But there's two types of gamers. There's the gamers who buy their stuff for themselves and they're going to buy what they want regardless of the price. If you're a PlayStation man, you're going to buy the PlayStation over the Xbox even if it's $100 more.
Yep.
Because that's what you're going to do. Then there's the kids who game and mum and dad buy their console and they're going to buy the cheaper option if they don't know what they're looking for.
Yeah, big time.
This is what it is. Which is why heaps of people ended up with Wii's.
Yeah. Are you going to be a day one picker-upper?
Yep.
Where are you going to sit as it stands right now?
I mean, I'll end up with both.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not kidding myself.
But you obviously won't do both day one though, right?
Oh, maybe. Depends. No, as it stands, I will probably PlayStation first.
Mm-hmm.
This gen, I Xboxed first.
Mm-hmm.
And that was only because I couldn't get a PlayStation.
Interesting.
I pre-ordered way too late, and I was in the third wave, so I got mine after the new year. So they came out in what, like November? I think I got mine in February.
Damn.
Luckily, none of my friends upgraded early, so we were.
Yeah. So to the power side of things, right, this is where, because as it stands right now, Xbox One X is unquestionably more powerful and is noticeably more powerful. So my concern, it's not a concern, this is going to be a weird thing that I don't know how they're going to market it, right? Because the jump from the Pro to whatever PS5 is going to be will be impressive.
Mm.
But by Xbox... Sorry, let's go here. So PS5's here, PS4 Pro is here. If One X is sitting here and they're hitting the same bench, the actual difference is smaller.
Yeah.
So I don't know how they're going to market that. It's going to give PlayStation an easy win, which is good and bad. As I punch the microphone.
it'll be interesting to see what Microsoft does. I mean, I don't know how many One X's are out in the wild. I would imagine most people have the S's. I personally have an S.
I have an S. I never turn my Xbox on.
I mean, I use mine fairly regularly.
Well, you're a big Games Pass advocate, similar to Josh.
I am a super Games Pass advocate. But for the most part, my Xbox is my 4K Blu-ray player. Because for some reason, PlayStation just don't.
Yeah. See, that was the thing for me. For a long window of time, that's what I used it for as well.
Mm.
However, I don't buy Blu-rays anymore.
Yeah, I guess.
I just kind of stopped.
Yeah. Well, see, my wife is very much a I need to have physical stuff because what happens if the internet's down? And I'm like, the internet never goes down. What do you want about? And then the internet goes down. I'm like, shit, I can't watch anything. And then Ali busts out all their physical DVDs and stuff.
So, look at this.
Look at what I can watch. And I'm like,
obviously, there's a couple that we'll buy for real. Like I said, I bought, Endgame. I'll probably buy Toy Story 4 next time there's a sale on.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's these things that, like, I do buy them, but it's so infrequent that that is no longer a selling point for me.
Yeah, I agree. But, I mean, the other reason why I picked up the Xbox One S was I was looking for a new game to play. And EB were having a sale on Xbox One S's for $199 with 5 games.
That's a good win.
So I bought 5 games, got a free console.
Yeah, so I picked mine up because this is when Popsy sort of started and we were like, well, let's cover as much as we can.
Yeah.
This is before the PlayStation really kind of started dominating. So for a lot of the times when we would speak to companies about codes or games, we'd get a lot of Xbox codes. So I was like, well, I probably should just get an Xbox, right?
Yeah.
But then PlayStation 4 became so prolific. Is that the right word? Prominent. Prolific is the word I wanted. It became so prominent that everyone just has PS4 codes. So I was like, I guess I don't need to use this much anymore. So right now he's literally sitting there, and I've said it before and I'll say it again. It's there to help me trade towards my PS5. That's it. I'll wipe it, take it in. That's it.
Yeah, so... yeah, I'll be doing the same thing. I've asked a lot of my friends. I'm like, you know, because they're touting this backwards compatibility both with their games and in online multiplayer. Is anyone keeping their PS4s?
That's the issue. With forwards compatibility here, that's a thing. Like, how are they going to get around that too? Like, you know, how are they going to get people to pay the $500 when the presumably a game is a PlayStation game and not a PS5 game, right? There's a... this fluid nature of generations is good and bad.
Because...
I can't trade mine in because mine's fucking purple and put a hole in it.
Well, I've got two and I'll be trading one in, but Ali wants me to trade hers in, which is like the OG peasant PS4.
Like $12.
So I'll get like, $5 and a piece of candy,
I guess. Ooh, piece of candy.
And it's got like the 500 gig hard drive, so you can install one game on it.
Yeah. There's a storage thing in here later. Next up, speaking of purple, because of my, is that my PS4 is purple?
If I was flexible enough, I'd lift my shoe up.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I'm not rocking my purple shoes. Got those nice purple Vans. See them on Twitter. We've known since about August that there is a new Saints Row game in development. It's been a long, long time since the Chaotic Open World series has given us a new entry, which was Saints Row 4. That was the last one. That was back in 2013. Since then, it was remastered to PS4, and then we saw the really shithouse Agents of Mayhem. It's kind of filling in that hole. Speaking of games industry, Koch Media CEO Klemens Kondratits reckons Agents of Mayhem's poor performance won't have an impact on the new Saints Row game, even though they're the same developer, Volition. Saints Row is Saints Row, he says. The two games are similar for sure, but they're also completely different. With Volition, we have the creators of all the Saints Row games as an internal studio, and they're not going to be distracted by anything else from creating our next game under this important franchise. Now, the reason I put this in... oh, there's more. The CEO also confirms that the new Saints Row will be revealed at some point next year, and Saints Row is very close to our hearts, and we'll talk about it in the new year. For the time being, we just wanted to get the word out that it's coming and is going to be great.
I agree with the statement of that. I agree with the statement that Agents of Mayhem won't affect Saints Row. It'd be like if
trying to drink it sideways so you can see the logo.
It'd be like if Rockstar released a random game and then they're like,
"Taste the Stranding,"
and it didn't go well, and then they're like,
"Fuck, I'm not gonna drink it."
Then they come out and be like, hey, we're making a new GTA game. Everyone will be like, GTA is going to be rad because GTA is always rad.
Because that's the thing, because like as GTA got more real and more focused on like a real, more direct satire.
Saints Row just got more and more
Saints Row got fucking stupid.
So Saints like, Row's good though.
I love Saints Row 2, but then it kind of lost me as they got dumber. Even though, because I guess it fills that void that everyone, you know, people want that dumb, stupid fun you used to be able to get in GTA back in the day. So Saints Row gave us that. Were you a big Saints Row guy?
I didn't mind it. I think the last one I played was Get Out of Hell. I played the expansion. PS Plus, I think. That, you know, was pretty cool. Ridiculous storylines. Like, but I love that running around, collecting the orbs, getting power-ups, you know, jumping off roofs and not dying.
Well, and on top of that, like, the story is so fucking weird.
I think I punched a president.
You were president.
Oh, I am
the president. You become the president, you punch a president, and then you go to hell to bring Gat back. So, like, the story of it, where does it go now?
Who cares?
Because, like, the last one is you have superpowers. Yeah. But you're also in a simulation. It was very fucking weird. I don't know where to go. The reason I brought that in, it was just more of a like, because I wanted to see where you sat in terms of what was your preferred. Were you GTA? Were you Saints Row? Were you kind of in the middle?
Definitely GTA, but Saints Row, it definitely has a place.
Yeah, but you know, during my PS3 time, I think Saints Row 2, because I remember getting it for like $15 on play. Smashed the shit out of that game. There's a lot of good music that came out of that.
Yeah.
Saints Row 2 that still get my regular rounds. Again? Question mark. We've been hearing about the big screen adaptation of Nathan Drake for the better part of a decade now. And this thing still hasn't had any progress at all.
Isn't it up to like its fourth producer or something?
It's like sixth director or something crazy. Yeah. Spider-Man himself, Tom Holland, is still currently signed on to play the role of the franchise protagonist, Nathan Drake. But now another star has joined the ensemble. Variety has reported that Mark Wahlberg, is in final talks to co-star in Uncharted, taking up the role of Sully. However, Wahlberg was originally set to play Nathan Drake in its original version many, many years back.
Yeah, before they...
However, so this does seem like progression. And we do have, you know, the PlayStation Productions company in which we didn't have before, which was being head up by Sean Layden. Sean Layden no longer there. Good signs again.
We're never getting this movie.
This movie's never fucking coming out.
Never coming out.
No.
They can sign up as many people as they want. Tom Holland can fight as hard as he wants. I mean, he bought Disney and Marvel back together. Or Fox and whoever it was, the Spider-Man people. Brought everyone back together, but he just can't make Nathan Drake come to life.
The discussion from this for me is, do video game movies need to happen?
No, because they're all terrible.
Yes.
Also, I wanted Big Boy Drake movie, and it should have been Nathan Fillion.
Yeah, he's just getting older. It's very difficult to do. But there was someone else that I was watching the other day, and I was like, he would be a good... But now I forgot who it was.
But no, I don't know. Video game movies tend to be, like, bad. But in saying that, I also like bad video game movies. Like, I think Mortal Kombat is one of the greatest movies of all time.
I've completely forgot who it was.
Street Fighter, not so good.
Because, I was watching something with my wife, and I was like, Jensen Ackles. I'm like, Jensen Ackles would be a good Nathan Drake.
Oh, yeah.
He's younger. He's witty. He's good to go.
He's supernatural.
Yeah, he's supernatural. He's dealt with weird shit before. You've seen him. He's taken, you know, maybe not a Yeti or a fucking possessed sarcophagus.
I guarantee he's killed a Yeti.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, so, like, how do you see, like, Mark Wahlberg as Sully? For me personally.
I don't know. Put on a Hawaiian shirt. Have a cigar, you'd be good to go.
Yeah, but like Bryan Cranston would be a dope Sully.
Yeah, if Sully was played as Sully as he's aged today, not as Sully when he was a young boy or younger man, because you got to remember Nathan Drake's 16.
True.
So Sully's going to be not quite so old.
I'm so so pained by this movie. I'm losing, like, originally I was so super stoked on it. That little short film was brilliant. I got nothing. I got no emotions left in me about it. Final bit before we get into the quick bits. A couple of days ago, Let's Go Digital managed to get a hold... This is a long one, so I was going to run through it because it's a bunch of information.
Oh, yeah, I know which... Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Let's Go Digital managed to get a hold of another PlayStation-related patent. This time, it seems Sony has listed an interesting cartridge device. But what is this thing of purpose? And what's its deal? We already know the PS5 will have an 4K Blu-ray drive for physical media, so what exactly would this cartridge do is still a mystery. Of course, that hasn't stopped the aforementioned site from doing some theorizing, and has come up with an interesting explanation for this odd bit of hardware. The website suggests that the PS5 users will be able to use these chips to upgrade their internal storage for the next generation. In other words, you'll be able to buy these supplementary solid-state drives to increase the amount of space available for game downloads, etc. This would be similar to the way you can upgrade your PS4 hard drive, but would make you process much more streamlined.
Are you trying to tell me that the Sony memory card is coming back?
Yeah, it looks like it. Potentially. affording a little bit of credibility to this is the description of the device found in the patent filing. Translated from Portuguese, for some fucking reason, the document says configuration applied to / in data recording and storage equipment. The site also persists that if Sony does make it so you buy more storage with these SSD cartridges, the PS5 itself may only come with the modest amount of storage on board. This could be a way for the platform holder to keep the initial cost of the PS5 to a minimum, especially as they're, you know, touting this fancy pants SSD. Of course, early adopters are worried the next gen machine will be very expensive to begin with, but this method would reduce the price tag at least in a minor way. To be clear, this is all speculation, of course. So, this ticks a couple of things to me. First one, the fact that they've been touting the power of these SSDs that they've been using, it would be weird for them to be like, the best thing about this PS5, storage, load time, it's amazing. I'm going to plug in my optical drive. Negates the entire selling point. Because you know, right now you can use external storage or whatever. Yeah. I myself, first thing I do is upgrade my console's hard drive. Did it with the PS4, went straight to fucking 3 terabytes or 4 terabytes or something. So I bought it, and literally the next day I went out to fucking piece of case gear and came in and did it. So that makes me happy that that's upgrade. This could potentially be upgradable. If it cuts costs on day one, that's fine. I'm going to spend money on buying a new one anyway. The concerns here, this sounds quite proprietary.
Yeah, well, it's not like Sony haven't done it in the past.
And as if we learned anything from the PS Vita.
Yeah, they got those dumb Vita SD cards that aren't SD cards. The
Duos or whatever. That was, yeah. There's a concern. Wait.
Sure, I mean, it could keep the cost down to begin with, but I mean, you're just adding that extra cost back in when we inevitably have to buy one of these.
Yes, but it's one of those things like at the asking price, like at the door, it seems cheaper, so it's better to market.
Yeah, of course. I hope it doesn't mean that we're going to get a small solid-state drive in the console itself.
Mm-hmm. But it could also make the form factor tiny as well. So what if they say they're using, like, you know, a small M.2 in there? Because they don't have to have that big, you know, it's like 3.5 mil. Like, it's not a very huge drive anyway. But if they do happen to use, like, an M.2, which is like a stick.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, the actual form factor of the console will be smaller. And then you just plug this thing into the back.
We'll have to wait and see, I guess.
Yeah. It's all theory, of course.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so my, yeah, the proprietary is the thing that probably gives me the most concern, just because that's not just you can buy it, but at a premium. Like, if you look at when they were selling...
I mean, if you look at the fact that their controllers are still $100, imagine how much they're going to charge you for a memory
card. As it stands right now, if you want a 64 gig memory card thingy for your Vita, it's like $100. The Vita isn't even supported anymore.
Yeah.
It's like, because it's just, when you look at, like, when they released the 500 gig PS4 and then the 1 terabyte, it's like $100 difference.
I mean, it'd be great.
That's not worth the dollars.
I mean, it's great if these are essentially hot swappable drives. Can I put my game data, save data on it, rip it out, go to my friend's house, put it in, stick it in the back of his console, bam, I can pick up where I've left off.
That would be very, very cool.
I mean, yes, we've got cloud saves, I know, but...
Well, multiple hard drives, like, in my laptop in front of me right now, M.2 and a solid-state drive. Like, it's got that in here.
Mm.
So, like, what... Like, sorry, as an M.2 and then, like, a 3.5 big boy. Yeah. Like, the precedence is there for it to be very commonplace, especially within laptops and other tech, you know, devices. Like, that could be that option, you know, and that way you plug it in, you can take it out, and you can still take it elsewhere, and you're getting maybe not as good hard drive thingies. You know, like now, things you can get like USB flash drives now, like terabytes.
Yeah.
It's not unrealistic for them to make something like this.
No, it's not.
But there are some concerns coming out. Let me know what you guys think, actually, because it's like, a lot of my approach to the news this week is very cynical. I don't know why. Very, very pessimistic. But maybe somebody out there can make me less pessimistic. Quick bits! Rust is coming to PS4 in 2020 for some reason. Is that game even relevant anymore? Maybe so. Did you play it?
No.
I remember there being, you know, you'd wake up, there's naked dudes around you and hit with rocks.
That sounds like Conan.
Yeah. DualShock will be supported on Microsoft's Project X Cloud. You watched the XO thing, didn't you?
I watched a little bit of it. I just wanted to know what was coming to Games Pass. I'm not going to lie. That's all I was there for.
Recently added Steam achievement could hint at DLC for Resident Evil 2 Remake. A store leak has Dreams full release as 14th February 2020. Forgot that game was a thing.
Mm.
Yep. I have nothing to say about Dreams because I'm just like, yeah, fuck it. I was interested in playing it.
I don't think I'm creative enough to play Dreams, and I don't think I would care about other people's creativity enough to play their games.
Agreed. I'm literally in the same boat as that. Hideo Kojima wins 2 Guinness World Records for being the most followed game developer on Twitter and Instagram. And finally, I reordered this because I knew you'd get excited.
I've got one more to add to this too.
Oh, what's yours?
For people who still play it, if you buy Jedi Fallen Order through the Epic Game Store, you get a Stormtrooper skin for Fortnite.
Fuck.
I'm like, that skin looks really good. I wonder how much it is. You have to buy Fallen Order.
Dang it. And finally, Dying Light 2 could be coming as soon as June next year.
Oh, I'm so keen. I was so upset when this got pushed originally.
So yeah,
this is such a great co-op multiplayer game.
That one comes from another interview with the gentleman from Koch Media, talking about how Techland, you'll see it. He essentially said you'll see it by June.
Because it was supposed to come out this year originally, wasn't it? And then it got pushed all the way back.
Yeah, then it got pushed like Feb and then to nowhere, if I remember right. I remember being either late this year. I think it might have been. Oh, I could be confused because I remember the first one came out in December. Maybe I'm just getting mixed up.
No, it was definitely. I definitely remember it was. It was originally announced for the show. I was super keen for it. But,
interesting. Anyway, that's all the news for this week, Max, as we have a chat to the players about Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order. So Jedi Fallen Order is the latest release from Respawn, best known for Titanfall, Apex Legends, and EA, best known for being fucking horrible, and Battlefront 2.
Not knowing what to do with their Star Wars licenses.
Yeah. So, interestingly, before we even get to that, it has been reviewing well, with IGN giving it a 9, Game Informer an 8.75, GameSpot 8, US Gamer giving it a 3.5 out of 5, bunch of places giving it some higher scores. So there is like some interest in this. Can you give me the pitch? What's this game about? Tell the final people at home while I increase my stamina.
The pitch. Spoiler free here. Okay.
You play as a character named Cal.
Yeah. You play as a redhead. He has a lightsaber. And so you're out to save or rebuild the Jedi Order.
Yeah. So we can give the first hour away, right? Because that's where the main story beats up. So you play a character called Cal Kinestis or something like that. Whatever. You are the guy from Shameless. You are the guy from Gotham.
You are Rorschach.
yeah, young Rorschach. Fuck. And you have been hiding in this. You're essentially stripping old starships in a post-Order 66 world.
So yeah, because this is set just before or just after?
About 5 years
episode
after.
Three.
After 3.
After 3.
I think.
After I don't know,
three.
My timeline.
Order 66 falls. Happens in 3, so it's after 3.
Yeah.
So the Jedi are pretty much wiped out from all accounts. Any Force users are being found and just getting straight up murdered. More continuing of 66 stuff. But where you, it's revealed that you are a Force user, a Force sensitive person, and you've been training in the darkness when you were younger, and somehow you were able to hide and survive. So you are now tasked with the end goal of bringing back the Jedi Order. And then gameplay ensues. So none of that was too very spoilery.
No.
It's kind of another thing.
How are you finding it?
Harder than I expected. Almost because I'm a fucking noob.
What was your selling point on this game? What got you in? Because I was very much like, I don't want to give EA my money.
Exactly. I was in the same boat. Mine came from, because I'm still yet to play Battlefront 2, because I was so opposed to how that they handled the Star Wars license there. I was like, oof. Pardon me. But a couple of things here that the kind of tick boxes for me. Unreal Engine, not Frostbite. So I was like, okay, this is going to be cool. Respawn have done really good lately, so it's promising. It's reviewing really well, because I waited until day of to even consider buying it. The gameplay styling of this, you know, the Dark Souls of Star Wars caught my attention, even though I really bad at those styles.
That's what sold me.
I also looked at the, you know, the old gameplay trailer, made it feel very Uncharted-esque. Two ticks for me there. And that's kind of what got me across the line. And then, for some reason, I got sucked into the pre-order hype of like, you can get an orange lightsaber. I'm like, oh, I don't know how soon, I don't know how long I'll be able to get the orange lightsaber before. So I didn't pre-order it. I just bought it on that day. I'm like, normally, pre-order bonus, you can sometimes get on the day one. and then I just ran to JB. Yeah, and then on top of that, a couple of our clients bought it in, and I saw it gameplay in action. I was like, fuck, I'm in.
Yeah.
So you were instantly sold on the Dark Souls style combat.
Yeah, so I heard early impressions about a week ago, and they're like, it's Dark Souls kind of light Sekiro style combat, and I'm like, I'll try this. Respawn, I love Respawn. Respawn are great. And yeah, I'm in. It's great. I'm really enjoying it. I've put in about 6 hours. I've done the first couple of worlds.
Yeah, I'm at about 4 or 5. Saying that though, a good hour and a half of that is me just trying to take on this fucking frog boss. So, because it's, you know, I've discussed before, the Dark Souls combat, I'm not very good at it. I'm just not that good at it. But, because I'm not good at, like, the waiting and watching them do whatever they need to do.
Learning the patterns.
I'm not patient enough. So, as I'm playing the game, you go to this first planet, and you got to do this thing, and you stumble across a boss. Very similar, like, very Dark Souls-esque. Like, whoa, fuck, you're a big boss. Try to take him on, no luck. But I didn't know that, because I'm an idiot. So I kept trying. Then I'm like, because, you know, the problem that I have is, what if I can't come back here?
Yep.
And it's the same problem I had with Death Stranding in that first region. I'm like, what if I can't come back here? And you're like, you come back here. I'm like, yay! And I keep pressing forward. Yeah. And same goes here. And I was like, I'm going to push forward. And then eventually you go and I gain some more skills and I come back and I yell at him a lot more. And then you're here and you're like, do this. I'm like, huh? Oh, okay. Hey!
Makes sense. Yeah. I mean, I butted heads with a mini boss last night for a while because, one, I didn't know it was there to begin with. I just walked into an empty room and then got jacked.
Mm.
And then I'm like, okay, I know where it's coming from. No, it just literally doesn't appear until you're in the middle of the room and it automatically jacks you. There's like no way you can get in without getting jacked by this thing.
Is it story beat?
No, it's just a side, like it was just a random side room mini boss, just came out of the wall, jacked me. This time I'm like, I'm going to be ready for you, looking at that wall, came out from behind me this time, jacked me that. It's like, cool, sounds fun. So, I managed to beat it after a while. Got the hang of it. Worked out its weak point. Turns out the big juicy bit on its butt was the weak point.
That's many of our weak points, our big juicy butts. But is it hitting what you expected? Like I said, you come in here with some expectation. My expectations are very minimal, so mine's not too bad. But like, you came in here wanting, I guess, a Star Wars-y Dark Souls experience.
Yeah, it's definitely hitting all those buttons. I think I spoke to you earlier before the show. My only frustration is all my heavy attacks are force-based, which is really frustrating because you run out of force so quickly in this game and the only way to get force back is to hit enemies and kill them. It started slow for me. Once I got a few of my skills, it became much more fun. Combat gets a lot easier once you get a few of the skills. Nothing beats force pushing guys off ledges.
Problem solved.
Yeah, problem is solved.
Do you have a big history with Star Wars?
Games? Yeah, kind of. I've played a lot of the games. Movies, I've seen them all.
Mm-hmm.
Except for the last one.
You're fine.
So, yeah, I'm all right. All right,
cool.
I mean, Jedi Academy, best Star Wars game of all time.
It may be.
He's getting remastered.
Because, I'm a big Star Wars dork. Mm. Even though I'm a bit Star Wars hurt as it stands right now, and I have almost no hype for the Rise of Skywalker, whatever the fuck it's called. I've always been keen for a game, for a new game, which is the problem that I have Battlefront. Like, I took my stance on it, and I instantly regret my stance because I want to play it.
Well, I've played Battlefront and Battlefront 2, and one of my friends who's playing Jedi Fallen Order, he's been complaining about the combat, actually, because the lightsaber combat in Battlefront 2 are completely different keys to what they are in this game. He's like, I don't like it. They've changed all the keys around. I'm like,
that sounds like a him problem.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Sounds
like a you problem.
So
he's like, L2's blocked, not L1. I'm like, just readjust.
Just remap it or get used to it, you dickhead. I'm enjoying how it's handling Star Wars lore as it stands right now.
Mm.
Like, it's not ham-fisting any old references in at this point. It's kind of like its thing within the world. Now, the only one reference we've seen is something you see a little bit later in, like, a holocron, but that's it, as I've seen so far. Have you seen any other additional Star Wars references, like main movie references?
No, not to my knowledge. Not that I've noticed, anyway.
And that's certainly an advantage, because, like, I understand this is the thing about Star Wars. As much as I love Star Wars, it's fucking weird that everything happens to be revolved around this one family.
Mm.
Like, we're in a massive universe, but it's always this one family. What's going on? So here, as it stands right now, it's not even touched the Skywalker lineage in any way. And I'll fucking love that. That's an instant win for me. And that's the problem that I have with, like, the latest sort of movies is, you know, even Han Solo, like, Darth Maul's in it for some fucking reason. Spoilers, I guess. But it's just like...
Didn't he kill Qui-Gon?
Yeah, he killed Qui-Gon.
Isn't the guy from number one?
Yeah. And it's just like he's in there, but not very... Like,
did he die in number one?
Yeah, he got cut in half. He has robot legs now. We had robot legs in Clone Wars, so it's...
Okay,
yeah, someone caught him as he got down there because it cauterized the wound. He didn't die straight away.
Okay.
And they give him robo legs and he comes back in.
Well, actually, there is a reference that I saw that I heard.
Oh, yeah?
Stormtroopers reference, it's okay, we have the high ground.
No, and that's pretty cool.
I chuckled a little bit.
Oh, that one's all
right. Right after they reinforce it, it's pronounced AT-AT, not AT-AT.
It's AT-AT. But, oh, fuck. But yeah, so in terms of that, like, I'm enjoying that it's adding lore without kind of, like, its own lore in its own little space, which I'm a big fan of. It's not, piling on kind of what's already there with the Skywalker stuff.
I definitely haven't seen anyone... I've seen one person that I've recognized from a movie, and it wasn't a main dude. I think it was the guy from Rogue One.
Which one?
Saw Gerrera.
Oh, Saw Gerrera, like the guy that Forrest Whitaker's character.
Yeah, he's in there.
Cool. Oh, that's awesome. And
so the only guy I've recognized from a movie.
Okay, I'm down with that. That spoilers, I guess, for anyone that didn't want to know that.
I haven't really seen anyone else.
Yeah, oh, that's interesting. So we're like. It's kind of tough because we are both early hours in at this point. There's a lot of it to see. And like I said, the amount of time I spent on it, part of it's just been fucking mad at the game. Just because of my skills are poor. Like, what are your thoughts as we, like...
Gameplay-wise, it's really fun. Like, there's a few areas where you've got essentially, like, kind of force puzzles.
Oh,
so you kind of use your different force skills, abilities.
Mm-hmm.
I got frustrated for ages trying to do this one, and then I realized that I was an idiot, and it was actually super simple once I worked it out.
Yeah,
I spent like a good half hour on it, and then I realized that it was super easy, and I did it in like 2 seconds after I realized what I was doing wrong. But really fun. Combat's sweet. Nice, fast-paced combat, which is what I like in a third-person game like this.
I agree. Like, the combat feels incredibly rewarding. I mean that as in
the risk reward
is there. Obviously, with that Dark Souls esque combat, but I mean that as in, like, it feels heavy. Like, because you are doing, you know, lightsabery things, it feels that, and because you have, you know, parry and more sword based mechanics, when you do happen to get into a lightsaber battle, it feels really good.
It's brutal taking on more than one enemy.
Yeah, big time.
And it's brutal taking on, like, just one dude who's got, like, a melee stick and just one dude shooting you from afar.
Yeah. But, I mean, like, because even Jedi Academy, which we both praise a lot, like, you essentially just spam attack. And then maybe it'll collide. Where here, you actually feel a bit more proper sword fighting, which is a genuine great improvement on lightsaber gameplay.
Yeah, if you want a good lightsaber gameplay game, this is definitely...
Like, because I don't remember Force Unleashed that well, so I'm presuming... Well,
Force Unleashed was essentially just a hack and slash, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, so that's how I remember it, too.
I don't remember it being hardcore.
Yeah. The decisions that the Respawn have made here to change it has been really cool.
Yeah.
Now, as I'm still unlocking Force powers as I go, so like I'm yet to get the push, I can do the wall running. So like, will we get the dash? Will we get the electric bolts? Will we get like mind tricks? Who knows? That's the best thing about it. It's fucking open. There's a lot we can do. The game looks pretty good most of the time. I've only had a couple of little minor issues with it. The creatures look really well done. Sometimes they actually look better than main guy. They've got weird, like, hammerhead face fucking dude. Who's that? His species I never can remember. He looks really good. And there's, like... There is a jarringness to it, but that's the Star Wars, right? But I think there might be some Uncanny Valley stuff, because with Star Wars, you're so used to them being suits. Right, yeah. In the movies.
Yeah.
And it's humans against a person in a suit. Where here, everything's CG, so it takes your brain... Well, it takes my brain at least a second to comprehend it, because I guess I have a preconceived idea of what Star Wars should look like.
Mm. I should also mention, I've been throwing out that it's Dark Souls, but Star Wars. It's not as punishing. So it has the same mechanic as Dark Souls, where you have points where you can rest, regain health, stim packs, all that stuff.
Respawns enemies.
Respawns enemies. And in the same way as Dark Souls, if you die and you've got levels that you haven't spent, you do lose them. But unlike in Dark Souls, if you die getting back to them, you don't lose them forever. They just shift forward.
Big win.
A big win.
Yeah.
You also don't have to kill the enemy. You've just got to touch him.
Yeah.
So if you get one attack off,
and then you fucking...
you automatically regain all your health, all your levels, everything, and then you can just... bail if you decide it's too hard.
I did notice that too, because like with that frog fuck, I was like, and then we'll just give it straight back to me. Yeah. It was awesome.
Same with like areas that they deem too difficult. You don't even need to hit the enemy. Your loot essentially, or your XP, will just be floating in the air. You just run up, grab it, and leg it.
I like
you don't have to hit the enemy if there's too many there.
I do appreciate them trying to, because like this. The comparison, as you said, of the Dark Souls of something is so worn out at this point.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to title this video that, because it's fucking funny.
But like, it goes so far as like when you, in some of the, because all the worlds that you visit are open, you can open shortcuts that will lead back to...
Yeah, there's a lot of good Metroidvania-ness to it.
And it physically, it'll pop up on your screen saying, hey man, you've opened a shortcut. So it's like, oh, I didn't just kick this ladder down for nothing. Didn't just cut this rope for nothing. It's giving me a shortcut to an earlier place so I can come back a lot easier.
That Metroidvania-ness to it is also a big tip. That was one of the other selling points for me earlier on, was like that. Because like, you know, as I've gotten older, like, I used to hate backtracking in games. But now I'm like, fuck yes.
Like, there's so much. Because you'll walk past something and be like, oh, the door's locked from this side. You're like, oh, so I can get back through the other way. Or there'll be something that's flashing red. It'll be like, oh, I don't have whatever I need to get through that point yet.
Yeah. So the backtracking stuff is going to be awesome, and I like to see where that goes, because that means returning to... why keep punching this microphone today? Returning to worlds is cool, so you never really feel like you've won and done something.
Oh, and the other thing that I found really good with the puzzle solving, despite the fact I spent half an hour trying to work it out, the game will give you an option. It'll be like, hey, we can see that you're having an issue. If you push this button here, you can ask BD1 and BD1 will give you a hint. Or if you don't want to, you don't have to. Mm. So it gives you the option. It doesn't kind of shoehorn the hint in and put it in your face. You're like, if you get frustrated and you kind of just want that hint, you'll be like, hey, BD, what's going on?
BD's a little robo friend.
Yep. And he'll hook you up with a hint.
Mm. I can do quite like that. But yeah, so yeah, the point I was trying to get to before was, yeah, so the Dark Souls of whatever is very just overused at this moment, but the gameplay of those games is so strong, it makes total sense where everyone wants to pick it up and run with it. And I think that they've done that here.
Yeah.
Because they said they've taken what works with that gameplay style, taken away all the things that would hinder people from really enjoying it.
Yeah, it takes away that what's that word I'm looking for? Accessibility.
Yeah, it adds the accessibility, yeah, which is awesome. So like where many people, I'm sure there are many Soulsborne diehards that are like, you fucking sucks, they've taken away everything that makes it awesome. I'm like, well, yeah, like it doesn't change Soulsborne games, does it? You know,
no.
So it can give you the exact awesome gameplay that these people love in a way that's more obtainable and in a cool universe. And I think that's the one advantage that it has over like a Dark Souls or those kind of games, is that lore is new. And new lore is cool, and learning new IP is great. But Star Wars has that pre-ground. Like there is that base lore of Star Wars. Like the base rules of that universe are in place, and you can just do cool shit within it. Just very big fan. I've still got a lot of time. Apparently it's like 30 hours deep at this point. Like the game is about that long. I've decided to no longer even attempt the fucking Death Stranding plat, because it's like 125 hours or some shit. Like,
yeah.
I'm 40, apparently the main campaign for Death Stranding is about 40 hours. I'm sitting about 15, so I'm not too far away from it, which is nice. So I think I will. Because I do need more credits for the year. I'm on like 18 right now. I think I ended the year on 18 last year.
Doing better than me.
So I want to get over 20.
I think realistically I'm at like 5, maybe, if that. I've not played many new games this year.
Yeah. I wanted to do that this year, but we didn't. I think we should probably do like a community like credit-a-thon and just like see who can...
Isn't there one guy in the community that like just finishes games on Steam like every day?
Well, yeah, Bat Prince don't count. You don't count Bat Prince.
You're too good.
Yeah, he's just too good. Let us know what you think of a Jedi Fallen Order. What are your final thoughts, Max? As I pull up the next section.
It's definitely still early. It's still too early to say, but I'm thoroughly enjoying it. And yeah, it's definitely worth picking up if you're sitting on the fence about it.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. I'm really enjoying it. The combat is cool. I knew that was where they were going. I did buy it with the idea thinking my wife could play it as well. She hasn't played games in forever, so she may not adapt to the gameplay as well. I'm just gonna give it to her. I'm gonna give her a bell. So she see how she goes. Chucks it on super easy. Give it some fun.
Well, that's what I was gonna ask you. What difficulty are you playing on?
Like medium, which is impressive for me, because normally like these days I'm like lazy and I just
actually go easy. What I enjoyed is the sliders that it shows you with the difficulty. So it's like, this is how much damage you do. This is how much damage the enemies do. This is the leniency of the parry.
Yeah.
They're the three things that you get. And then as you get them, they just skew. So on like Grandmaster, there's like no window of opportunity for parry. And everything does heaps of damage and you do nothing.
Yeah.
And then the easier it gets, the bigger the parry window, the more damage you do, the less damage you take.
Yeah, I went right down the middle. Because using those sliders, I was like... I said, normally I go easy, just because I'm lazy, and once again, the nature of what we do, I need to kind of get through games faster, and I don't really have the time, because child and job and other podcasts that I record.
So I think I picked Jedi Master, which is maximum damage taken, maximum damage dealt, slightly smaller parry window.
So because it's like, yeah, Padawan or whatever, then Jedi Knight, Jedi Master, Grandmaster or something. I went whatever the second one is. Jedi Knight. So I want to see where it goes. I'm curious where the story is and where it's taking, because as it stands right now, the story is a little... I'm not feeling it. Mostly because it's just like, he's a Jedi all along. Like, oh, okay. I thought there was some part of me like coming... I guess that's my presumption. I was like, you discover...
I thought he was going to like find it and then be like, this is awesome, not... He knew all along that he was.
And he has a saber.
Yeah, he just whipped it out.
Because they're like, you know, anyone that's a Jedi is going to get fucked. He's like, okay, sabers are already there. I'm like, wait, when I don't get to find one, I don't get to build one.
Yeah.
That is my one hit. That is probably my biggest issue, I guess, probably that. Just see that story beat so far, because the story isn't super compelling for me. I think the gameplay is certainly its strongest point at the moment, but that may... hopefully that alters, because we still don't know who the big bad is, because the big bad's the person who's at the start. Anyway, but let us know what you think of Jedi Star Wars, Jedi Fallen Order. Comments below, Twitter, Discord, harasses, and for all the good times. Now, if for any reason you've already finished Jedi Fallen Order and Death Stranding because you're fucking insane, this is a section we call Coming to the Players, where these are the games that are coming out this week. Max, these are the games coming out for the November 19, 2019. Number one, The Curious Tale of Stolen Pets, PSVR Digital. Debris, PS4 Digital, out on the 22nd. Demo Reborn, PS4, PSVR Digital, out on the 21st. Aspire 1 VR Operative, PSVR Digital, the Australian game.
Lots of VR games. Yeah, it's really cool. Half of this draw.
The definitive VR stealth experience, Aspire 1 VR Operative drafts players as drone operators of the future. Players become Aspire agents and use cutting-edge virtual reality hardware to remote operate the Aspire Model 1 from the safety of their controlled theater.
Oh, look, they're releasing a game for you.
I know, I'm very excited about this. yeah, this was shown in the State of Play most recently. It was also playable at PAX because of being Australian game and all. So it does look pretty interesting. Pretty cool for some cool VR stuff. Farmer's Dynasty, PS4 Digital, out on the 21st. Because as I talked about last week, got Harvest Moon. Haven't touched it because I've been playing Death Stranding. More than just an agricultural simulation.
Yes.
In Farmer's Dynasty, you have to rebuild your farm and develop your heritage, start a family, handle your relationships, and, of course, manage your crops to prosper. This is getting me hard. Develop your farm, your life, your family, experience life of a real farmer, cultivate your fields. Lost Ember, PS4 Digital, out on the 22nd. Mountain Rescue Simulator, PS4 Digital, out on the 21st. Munchkin, PS4 Digital, out on the 19th.
Is that Munchkin as in like the card game?
I'm not sure. Digital. Check it out. Dive into Munchkin Quacked Quest and rediscover the parody, puns, and humor from the hit card game Munchkin by Steve Jackson. Gather gold, throw your foes and friends into sacrifice pits, collect ducks, eliminate the monsters, and reach the highest level to win the game. So I've never played Munchkin.
Munchkin's great, man.
Yeah, I remember hearing good things about it.
I got like 4 boxes worth of cards. Like big boxes.
Yeah. I think we have the starter kit at work. Narcos Rise of the Cartels, PS4 Digital, based on the Netflix series, I presume.
That's not coming out.
Yeah, it comes out next week.
No, I'm looking at the next list. I'm reading ahead. Sorry. Oh.
Shenmue 3, PS4 Digital and Retail. I'm going to read it out. Journey deep into rural China as you take the role of Ryo Hazuki, a Japanese teenager hell-bent on fighting his father's killer. A story of adventure, mystery, friendship, martial arts, and ultimately revenge. This game was really hyped about. I haven't heard shit about it. Sid Meier's Civilization 6, PS4 Digital Retail, out on the 22nd. Sniper Ghost Warrior Contracts, PS4 Digital and Retail, 22nd. I hear Zach from Well Played's Erection Grow as I said it. He is so hard for this game. Stretch, PS4 Digital, out on the 22nd, and that is it. I don't know what's any standouts in here. I'll probably find the Dynasty, because that's the one that I want. Or Dynasty, I guess, where I pronounce it.
I don't know, Siv, if you're looking for an RTS.
Yeah, Spy, if you want to support some Aussie devs. I guess it's one of those things, everyone's just kind of all quiet now.
Yeah, well, after everyone blew their load on Friday over Star Wars, Pokemon,
yeah,
I think that was it.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's two big ones. There's not a lot coming out the rest of the year now. It's pretty quiet, which is cool. We can get credits. It's about getting credits now, Max.
Gives everyone a chance to finish Death Stranding.
Yeah. Oh, I'm going to play more Death Stranding after this, actually. I can't believe I love it so much. Thank you again, Max, for coming and doing the show with us.
Anytime.
It was always awesome, fun, and cool. Hopefully, you can come back next week, because I still haven't heard from Josh. Josh is doing fine. He's just enjoying his time away. So hopefully we can get him back here soon, because I do miss him.
We all miss him.
Yeah. Because as I said, like, it's one of the things, like, this show is, like, the way that he and I catch up.
Yeah.
So I haven't seen him. Well, we came and did wrestling.
Yeah, it was good to see him last week and watching the wrestling.
So it was cool to see him not in a recording sense. But, yeah, because it's just we don't catch up enough. And I guess benefit you and I get to catch up more often now, which is cool, which is a big win. So it's all pretty fucking schmick, whatever happens. But he'll be back, hopefully. This PlayStation Conversation happened at 8 a.m. on your podcast services, 9 a.m. on those YouTubes. If you are listening to us on the podcast services, why don't you give us a bit of a review and help us get in those charts again, man. Just help us do that. Wait, what was the next part? And you know, I'm like, oh, it doesn't fumble over itself. And then I fucking fumble over myself. If you want to join the wrestling conversation, head over to facebook.com/group/thepopculturist. Twitter, Discord, all those links are in the description below. Come chat to us about PlayStation goodness. If you want to join the conversation as it happens, head over to patreon.com/thepopculturist, where you support us at any dollar value. Get yourself a nice little sneaky link where you can watch us record this show live, as well as our other show, The Young and the Wrestlers. But if you want to support us anymore, once off, sorry, the energy drinks are kicking in my wine. My brain's fucking firing like mental. Yeah, if you want to support us in a once-off fashion, head over to popcultures.com/shop. We can buy shirts and other assorted shit with our logos on it. It is pretty much on sale from now until the end of the year. Go check it out. Fantastic. Some good mid-tier merchandise.
Some stuffing. Stocking stuffers.
Stocking stuffers. You're like, oh man, check it out. Cool, this is my stocking. There's like those gold coins. I get them every year. You know, gold coins. What's this? What's that? Oh, cool. A D-grade YouTube channel's shirt. Thanks, Nan.
She did like coffee mugs.
We'll do coffee mugs.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Put a coffee mug in there. Yeah. Phone case.
Ooh, notepad. A phone case is a good idea.
I told you should have got Popsy stockings.
Yeah, should have made stockings. I'm not available in the store. Phone cases though. Notepads are. Coffee mugs are. Pens, I think, maybe. Tote bags. Your Christmas tote bag. We are also on Twitch at twitch.tv/popcultures, which I'm not streaming this Thursday because I am doing the show that I was meant to do, that I thought I was doing fucking this week. But I may get a sneaky one in either probably tomorrow night. I might play some Star Wars or something. No. Catch up on it. Just kind of end the week on a cool little stream. Because come to tonight, I'm going to see Joker.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so Dylan wanted to take me last week for my birthday, but too many things came up, especially with the wrestling and whatnot. So it was like we rerouted it to this weekend. So we're off to see it tonight.
Enjoy.
And we're on a sweet hot date. He's on a celebratory hot date because he's got himself a new job too.
Oh, nice.
So he's very excited to sort of like fuck off that job. So he's all full of beans right now.
Yeah, nice.
Which is good for me, which means I'm getting some.
Dylan's putting out tonight. Nice.
But until next week, I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Max Cooper.
And that was For the Players. What, the idea of Dylan and I getting on?
Oh, just Dylan's putting out.
For the Players, the Pop Culturist PlayStation podcast is fan-supported at patreon.com/thepopculturist. And we'd like to thank our Patreon producers and our Patreon founders for their kindness, their support, and their generosity. Our Patreon founders, Alpha Ferret, Craig O'Flaherty, David Chataway, Jesse Stevenson, and Jacob Garner. And our Patreon producers, AJ Abatomi, Damien Holdies, Kyle Dunn, Lee Winterchauvin, Nathan Massetti, Paul James, Pure Mongrel, and Sean Levitt.